For this morning's meditation, with the Lord's help, I desire to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 17, and desire to begin with verse 20 to the end. Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, beginning with verse 20 to the end. Ljubazni sa Božijom pomoć, želim da se pročita iz Evanđelja po Luci, 17. glava, početak od 20. broju do kraja. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of one part under the heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back, remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, the one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. Dear ones, the chapter before us, we could really pull many teachings from. We could concentrate on many aspects of these verses that we have read and feed our souls on these verses for literally days. The thought is of the coming of the Son of Man, as it is actually described in the heading here of the Bible in front of me. And dear ones, I'd like to focus really on one of the statements that Jesus spoke here, and this is really in preparation for his coming. Now, we have to consider that the teachings here are not, it is something that every one of us experiences. Every one of us are in this kingdom. The kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God. So when Jesus speaks of a kingdom, he speaks of a kingdom in which he is the king over. And so, dear ones, every one of us has, even as the brother prayed, when he covered really all of us here, all the various difficulties we might be facing, but greater is Christ who is in us than he that is in the world. And to be a part of this kingdom, dear ones, he says here, the kingdom of God doesn't come, cometh not with observation. He's speaking this to the Pharisees who were looking for the kingdom to be set up. They were looking for this to be set up in a way in which it would rid them of their adversary, the Roman power that was in their way. And the disciples, he speaks to them and he tells them, of a day that will come when you're going to desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. That day was approaching when Jesus was going to be crucified, when he was going to be buried, when he would resurrect and he would ascend. And he said, you're going to desire to see me here, but you will not see it. I'm here now with you. And dear ones, every one of us, you know, when we think of the generations that have passed before or since this was written up until now, can we say that this, what Jesus was teaching, this, what Jesus was preaching and showing us, that those generations didn't really experience this? Because everyone who accepts Christ, who submits to Christ, in full submission, has Christ. And everyone who is called from this earth, as every one of us will be, are we ready for that moment when he will return? Because that is the return. When we close our eyes to this life, that is his return for me or for you or for whoever closes their eyes and it's done. That's his return. So it's not like they will be spared the coming of the Lord Jesus, that they will be spared the things that will take place and so on. No, every one of us experiences his kingdom, he who reigns as king, and we who will see his coming. But he tells us, he warns us here of that the day to prepare for it. And he brings up a few points. He speaks about lightning, how it just flashes. It suddenly flashes across the sky, and it's seen everywhere. That so also will the Son of Man be in his day. He talks about, but he says, it's going to be like in the days of Noah. They ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage until Noah entered into the ark. But during this time, there was a teaching, a preaching of get ready. A day of judgment is coming. And the people ignored it because they were driven by their senses. They were driven by those things that they saw. They saw prosperity. They saw fun. They saw things that were pleasing to themselves, things that carried them day in and day out, into the night and so on. They were enjoying. That's the term here. There's certainly nothing wrong with eating. There's certainly nothing wrong with drinking. There's certainly nothing wrong with getting married, being given in marriage. But it's the focus on these things and the dismissal of the coming day of judgment that marked these things were the things that were in the way of these people. Just like those three men who came to Jesus and said, I would follow thee. And he says, come follow me. He says, well, I have to go bury my father, or I have to go tend to my land. Anything that stands in the way of our service to the Lord is a hindrance, no matter what it is. Even if it's not sin itself, if that is what is keeping me from a devotion to my Lord first, it is sin to me, and it will be counted as sin for me. So that's why he speaks here. If you think, well, what's wrong with eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and so on? And he says the same thing about the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. What is there that is done here that we're not doing today? We're doing all of those things. But all of those things have to be secondary to our call to serve our Lord. He has to be Lord of all. He has to be everything, everything to me. And so he speaks of the days of Lot, and then he issued a warning for us. And I'd like to focus with God's help on Lot, what had taken place. Because Jesus says here, after he tells that, he says, remember Lot's wife. That's all he said. That's how he ended this. Remember Lot's wife. He didn't say, remember the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't say, remember all the vile things that were done there and look at the judgment that... He says, remember Lot's wife. He talks about the suddenness of the judgment that had come upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. But he then tells us, remember Lot's wife. And so we have to look back and consider the life of Lot. And dear ones, if we look at the story of Lot, I would say that none of us could pull out from reading in Genesis the story of what had taken that we would say that Lot was a righteous man. We couldn't really gather that from the things that are written of him. But that, yet it is the Holy Spirit himself who told Peter to write about Lot. But he tells us here to remember Lot's wife. And so we have to consider what happened to Lot. What happened in that time? When we turn to Genesis, we find Abraham, who is called out of the land. And he's told to pitch a tent. He's told to live, be a tent dweller. A tent dweller. He's to leave the comforts of the life that he knew and to become a tent dweller. God had always, today, as he did then, and he did from the beginning, he always has had someone to testify of his truths, to testify of his righteousness, of his holiness. And the church today is that someone who is to testify of his truths, of his righteousness and his holiness. And dear ones, as the church goes forth and puts forth the message, the world will not accept the church. If you see the world and the church coming together, it's because the church has lost its testimony. There's never going to be a time that the world will accept and become friendly to the church. If it does, it's because the church has changed the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. They made it to fit. They come together. It's never been intended to do that. Never. It is the message has always been to transform hearts' lives. Not to somehow get this cozy fuzziness and to come together. No. And so God had called Abraham to come out of his land. And Lot goes with him. Lot is his nephew. So being his nephew, he goes with him, and they dwell in tents. And there comes a time that they need to separate. They've amassed enormous amounts of sheep, and they need to separate. And it tells us that Lot looks, and Lot, now we can see already the beginnings of what is going to take place. Lot is selfish. Lot looks to himself. And he looks and he views what is going to be good for him. And he looked towards Sodom. And he pitched his tent there. But that's not where it ended. We see Lot suddenly at the gates of Sodom. Then later we see Sodom or Lot in Sodom, and he's dwelling inside the city of Sodom, where the Lord looked upon this city and saw that it must be destroyed because of the sordid things that were taking place in that city, in those cities. They would be destroyed. Lot made his home there. Now, we have to look at ourselves now also. Do we feel that we, Lot felt that he knew God enough that he could go and right in the middle of them, dwell right amongst them, and still have a testimony of God. But we don't see that testimony anywhere. We see him actually being captured. We see him and his family being captured and taken away. And Abraham comes and with a sword of justice rescues Lot. He rescues Lot and he rescues his belonging and stuff. And what does Lot do? Lot parks it right back where he was, right back in the city of Sodom. It wasn't a wake-up call to him to say, hey, what am I doing here? Do I really have a witness? Do I really have a testimony? Am I that person that God has called me to be a come out from among them and be ye separate? Is that what I have become? Because I'm dwelling in their midst, and I'm not changing them. If anything, let's look at the testimony in his own house. All of his children are gone. Three of his daughters are married, and they didn't come and follow when they were being called to come out. The word of the Lord was not that important to them. That's not to say that Lot and his wife and children didn't sing his praises. But that's to say their heart wasn't there. Dear ones, do we ever feel that we can, that we are, you know, perhaps Lot felt, you know, I'm not going to let my daughters get married to some herdsman, or, you know, I'm going to go into a sophisticated city where they're going to be able to get educated men. Someone that, you know, I've got to be concerned for my children to give them access to men to marry them who are men of substance and whatever. It's man thinking. And he wandered away from that which he was called to go and be separate. Abraham stayed. He stayed behind. But we also find Abraham, he must not have looked upon Lot as all that himself, because he was asking the Lord, who is going to be the heir of this? And naturally should have fallen to Lot, but he didn't even consider Lot. And so we don't really see anything in the scripture, in the Old Testament, of the account of what had taken place, of anything that we could look upon Lot as an example to follow after. And we are told here that as in those days when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, we see Abraham in the day before this destruction that is spoken of here, we see him coming out of his tent. He comes out of his tent and he looks towards the city. And he says, and it says he sees three men of one who he immediately recognized as the Lord himself. And he falls down before him. This is the Lord Jesus coming to Abraham. He saw him with his own eyes. He falls down before him to worship him. We know that was the Lord, because he didn't tell him, get up, I'm just a man as you are. That's what an angel would say. No, the Lord didn't say that. And what did Abraham do? Immediately, he called for Sarah, prepare the loaf of bread. And he immediately went out and picked the choicest a calf that he would dress and prepare for a meal. The Lord didn't tell them. They didn't tell them, no, don't bother. He let them go. He let them prepare a meal for them. And they sat under the shade of a tree and they talked. And he told them that, you know, and Sarah's inside the tent. She's chuckling, listening that she's going to have a son. And the Lord hears all that, and he knows that the thoughts that are going in Sarah's mind. And we see the Lord tell Abraham that he will destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham says, peradventure, there's 50. Just 50. They're in that city. Are you still going to, even the righteous? Are the righteous going to perish with the unrighteous? He says, no, I won't. If there's 50, I won't. Well, how about 45? No, I won't. Oh, how about 40? No, I won't. How about 30? No, I won't, he says. How about 20? No, I won't. Abraham says, how about 10? And he dared not go any lower. He stopped right there. He stopped right there. And we see then what is taking place in Sodom. Abraham comes out of his tent, but we see a Lot in a house. The actual term is first used right there when it speaks of a house. It speaks of streets. It's the first mention of streets and houses in the scripture that are right in the city of Sodom, right where Lot is. He's right there in the midst of them all. And three angels come to tell him, get out. The city will be destroyed. And he says, I'm going to go get the children. He runs to the houses to tell them, did they come? The sons-in-law, did they come? Did his daughters come? No, they didn't. Here was a godly man. Brothers and sisters, let's consider who we are. What does our word mean? Are we hypocrites? Does our life betray our words in any way? That our own children do not take the word that we speak as a testimony of the life that we live, and the kingdom in which we live, and the King who reigns within us. Does our life betray who we say that we are? Because those children didn't listen to Lot. They perished in the city. Two daughters who yet remained with Lot. And still, they procrastinated. Impending doom. Wait. And the angels finally took them by the hands. We know the story how the men came upon the house and they wanted to knock the door down to come to the angels. That's the lawlessness that was in the city. And those are perhaps the constitutional rights that those people had in that city. They did what they were permitted to do. Strangers were coming into the city, and they felt they had a right to those strangers. And there was no one that was going to stop them. Lot tried to dissuade them, tried to tell them, no, don't. And he did something horrible. He even offered his own daughters to them. And we see Lot's wife. Why does it tell us remember her? Dear ones, when we look at Lot's wife, we have to look at her and see someone who was not involved in sin. And when I say that, I mean in the very act of going out and sinning with the Sodomites and those that were in the city. But we also find someone who, in her heart, was a sinner. In her heart. There were things in that city that were attractive to her. More so than the plains. And to dwell in the tents in which she had dwelled. Something that would, when we, with our eyes today, dear ones, we would probably be no different. Let's be real. We probably would be no different. Well, what's wrong with the comforts? What's wrong with this? Well, what's wrong with this? Well, what's wrong with a little bit of entertainment? What's wrong with this? What's wrong? What's wrong? That's what Lot's wife said. What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? Let's dwell here. No, there weren't 10. No, there weren't 10. And we see, dear ones, then, that as the angels had to take hold of their arms, we see Lot's wife, she's lingering. She's a step behind, not following with the full burning desire for mercy that is being offered to her. Salvation, mercy and salvation are being given. And she's going, but a little slower. She's not in a hurry. She's going because she knows that the angel spoke And she believes in God enough to know that it will take place. But she doesn't want to go yet. Is it really time that these cities will be destroyed? Is it really time? And she wonders, maybe, what am I giving up? Look what I'm giving up. I'm giving up some comfort. I'm giving up whatever she had there. I'm giving these things up for what? For a wilderness? Why can't I be faithful where I'm at? Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Come out. And she's a step behind. She can't give it up. Does that sound like there's anything like that in our lives today? We know the promises of God are sure. We know that, right? We know. Of course we know. But there's no evidence. There's no evidence of impending doom. There's no evidence of the coming of our Lord. There's no evidence of me suddenly falling dead. That I will just one day, boom, die on the spot. No chance for anything. We look at Lot's wife. She died in her sin. Imagine dying in the very act of a sin. She did. She died in the very act of a sin that showed faithlessness, that showed a desire to return to that which she is being told to flee from. She turned around. And the commandment was, do not look back. Brothers and sisters, we have that commandment. Do not look back. Jesus said, put your hands on the plow. Don't look back. Don't look back. She looked back, and as she looked back, she became a pillar of salt. Justice instead of mercy. Justice. And yet, she's being granted mercy. Salvation. I'll take judgment. Dear ones, mercy and salvation are being offered today. Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. No, you may not be caught up in all these sordid things. No, we may not be living this high life and whatever, but if the desire is in our heart, if we're drawn to those things, dear ones, we are Lot's wife. He says, remember it. Remember her. Remember. You're being called to be a separate people. You're being called to testify of the truths of God. You're being called. I'm looking to you. I'm looking to you to testify of the mercies, of the justice, of testify of the impending doom. Without Christ, if we change our message, if we deviate from the truths of God, dear ones, and the world now suddenly says, you are a good Christian, and they sing your praises, it's because you lost your testimony. There's no way that a world where Satan rules the world, Satan drives it, he is the prince of the air, he is the one who controls it, there's no way that that world can be, that the testimonies of Jesus Christ can be attractive to that world. If it is, it's because we've changed the message. Jesus says, they will revile you too. They did me. They will you too. Don't expect anything different. If you receive something different, it's because we're giving something different. Yes. The teachings of Jesus Christ are hard. The teachings of Jesus Christ require a change of heart, a new birth. Something new. You're not going to find it in this flesh. It's not here. It's not here. It's not with us. No. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Is there... She wanted to save her life. She wanted to save something. And she lost her life. A pillar of salt. That eventually time and weather eroded away. But she was a statue. She had become a statue, a pillar of salt. Looking back, that's what she was doing. She was looking back. And that's how she immediately perished. In a backward glance. Dear ones, backward glance. Jesus talks about judgment. Two women will be grinding together. One will be taken. This isn't speaking of a rapture. No. This is speaking of judgment. One will be taken for judgment. He says, and they answer him, says, where, Lord? Where will this be? He says, where the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. In the book of Revelations, we can read of a supper that is taking place. And this is a supper of the great God, it says. A supper where the birds of the air will come and feast upon the kings of the earth and so on. And it also speaks of a supper of the marriage of the Lamb. It speaks of two suppers. It speaks of two. Jesus speaks of two people here. One is taken for judgment. Remember Lot's wife. Three words that we probably don't heed. When was the last time that we read this and focused on remember Lot's wife? When do we ever think of her? Honestly, never. And yet the Lord says, remember her. Yeah, when the conversation comes up, I'll remember her. But do I focus on her? Do I think about, wait a minute, am I looking back? Am I longing for that which I have left? Am I living in a world, acting like I'm above the world? I'm above them. I can live amongst them. Abraham was a pilgrim. Abraham was a pilgrim. Lot wasn't a pilgrim. Lot wasn't a pilgrim. Abraham was. This world wasn't his home. He had faith and a love for his Lord. He saw his Lord. He saw him with his eyes. He met him after he went and saved Lot. It tells us that Melchizedek, the king of Salem, had come to him. And he gave him a tenth of all that he had. That's none other than the Lord Jesus himself. Again, that's clearly identified in Hebrews, where it tells us very, very clearly who that is. It says, Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, he blessed him. It says, Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness. Who is that? And after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Who is that? Without a father, without a mother. Who is that? without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abiding a priest continually. It's our Lord. Abraham was a pilgrim here. And Abraham lived by faith, and he never lost his testimony. He was able to speak, and his life, his children, could learn from an example that he had left. And so, dear ones, what is our example? What is the example that we leave? A life of leisure, a life of comfort. Nothing wrong with it, right? Nothing wrong. No. But when that is my focus, eating, drinking, marrying, living, when that's my focus, Christ takes second place. Wherever Christ is second, he is not at all. He is not at all. And we see Lot, and we have to think of Paul where he writes that some will be saved as though by fire. Lot suffered greatly. He lost his whole family. The sordid thing that happened to him after he had escaped, it's hard to even talk about. And from that came the enemies of Israel, from that sordid affair that had taken place. The descendants were enemies. But that's Lot. He suffered greatly. He lost everything. He lost his wife. He lost his children. All because of what? A look. A look. I have God. I can go to this edge. I can go there. I have God. I will still serve God. I love the Lord. That's my testimony. I love the Lord. Oh, I know you love the Lord, but I'm on the edge. I'm right here. Has the Lord taken a notch below my eating, drinking? And we know what that means, not literally in its food entirely. Is my eating, drinking, and marrying and living, is that my life? If it is, dear ones, it will not be lost on the world. They will love your testimony. They will love my testimony of Jesus Christ when they see me living just like they do. No problem. Keep testifying of your love for your Lord. Keep telling me about impending doom. I see you're living just like I am. All is well. We lose it. Dear ones, I'd like to just close with the three words again that the Lord spoke. Remember Lot's wife.
One of the things that those in Hebrews chapter 11 had in common is that they all confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers here upon this earth. Jesus said that my kingdom is not of this world. And here we read that Jesus taught that the kingdom of God is within us. And so we as believers, as those in Hebrews 11, confess that our kingdom is not of this world. Our kingdom is with the Father. And it is His kingdom that we strive for. And we are building up that kingdom. We have the advantage that we know that this world will end in destruction because the Bible tells us so. And so Jesus taught us that this morning in that He says, remember, in the days of Noah, if the waters covered the earth and they were all destroyed. Remember in Sodom and Gomorrah, fire and brimstone came down from heaven and they were all destroyed. And Jesus then says, and so likewise, when the Son of Man comes again, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. When the Son of Man is revealed, the earth will all be destroyed. And so it's not an earthly kingdom that we're building, but a heavenly kingdom. And so if we renew our minds day by day that it's not about this life, it's not about these temporal things that we experience physically, but it's about building that eternal kingdom. It's about building that heavenly kingdom. It's about being about God's business. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. May we preserve our lives for that which is eternal. Amen.